Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. Today, we would like to look at the character Joshua from the Old Testament. We've talked about Noah this week. We've talked about Moses. We talked about the idea of them being human like we are and that there were things that happened in their life that we might could relate to, that they still serve the same God in heaven that we serve today if we're trying to serve God in heaven. They lived under different time periods, and of course, there was a massive flood that was involved in the life of Noah and his family, and yet they were saved in the ark. They did what God said do. They were not perfect people. Nobody's perfect but Jesus Christ, who has ever lived on the face of the earth. We also studied the life of Moses in an overview and went to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and noted the things that were mentioned that were complimentary about the faith of Moses. The faith that is mentioned in Hebrews 11. The faith that God wants us to have. The faith that comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God is an active faith. It's not a dead faith. Faith without works is dead being alone, James says in James 2:17 and James 2:24. Many people talk about faith alone like it's a good thing. No, faith alone is dead. We have to have righteous works. They're not meritorious, for mere mortal cannot do anything in order to earn salvation. If there were, we would have to be perfect individuals. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." So, this wonderful study this week of Bible characters, including Joshua, as we would like to pick up on Joshua's life. In Hebrews, the 11th chapter, there's a reference to Joshua, if you will. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. And on this occasion, by faith, Rahab, the harlot or innkeeper, did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. When we get to the end of the book of Deuteronomy, the last book in the Torah, the first 5 books of the Old Testament, Moses gets to view the promised land, and the Lord was punishing him because of his earlier sin of not giving God credit when he brought forth water from a rock from the second time. He had done what God said do correctly in the first occasion, but he was mad with the people, and God punished him for his sin. Moses dies, Deuteronomy 34, verse 3, and they buried him in the valley of Moab, and he was 120 years old when he died, and his eyes were not dim, nor was his natural vigor abated. And there was great mourning for him. The Bible points out also in Deuteronomy 34:9, "Now Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, so the children of Israel heeded him," that is Joshua, "and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. But since then there has not risen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel. God was speaking directly to Moses and Aaron and to others like Abraham and Noah, Cain, who killed his brother Abel. But God is going to shift now, and there are going to be those that are leaders and those that are kings, but there'll be those that are prophets as well as the judges, and God will talk to them. And there will begin to be things that are written down as we go into the development of the world, as we're going through biblical timelines. And there are estimates, of course, before Christ, of when all of these things happened. But we need to recognize the time and place of Joshua. So he's coming on the scene, following Moses and his death. The wilderness wandering has happened. Remember that Joshua and Caleb were the only two spies that came back before the punishment of 40 years of wilderness wandering. For those who were adults were not going to see the promised land from a certain age and upward. And the 40 years took place, and now the children of Israel are ready to go in with their new leader Joshua to conquer the land of Canaan as God dictates, as God directs. And there's going to be a very, very interesting thing that we need to notice in chapter 6 that I think is a fantastic place for us to study the life of Joshua, and a major highlight, and the faith that Joshua had, that when he went into the land of Canaan with the spies earlier, he came back saying, with the Lord's help, we can take it. Yeah, there are giants in the land, no problem. But other spies, except for Joshua and Caleb, were reticent. They were not as convicted. They were not as full of faith to believe that they could do what God had promised he would do and give them the land that flowed with milk and honey when they came back and gave their report. If you have a Bible and could turn to Joshua 6, it would be a wonderful thing. Otherwise, just listen along, and then we'll make some comments in our study today. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. The Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." This would seem to the normal human being, just looking at a situation, that we've got a walled city, Jericho. It's fortified. Nobody's coming in and going out. And then we've got God, the creator of the universe, saying, "I've given you this city." Well, it's not conquered yet, but the Lord knows what's going to happen, and the Lord is with the children of Israel. Now, this is not the type of military strategic plan that you would find other people throughout the history of the world using in going into battle. And I think it's great to recognize that God never wanted the people to believe and get haughty that it was of their own strength that they were accomplishing some of the task, especially when God was the strength that they should be leaning on for those accomplishments. Notice verse 3. "You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Then it shall come to pass, when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him." So Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, "Take up the ark of the covenant, and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was, when Joshua had spoken to the people, that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Joshua had to command the people in verse 10, saying, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout." So Joshua is a leader of God's people. And Joshua believes in the power of God. He'd already come back from the mission of the spies and with Caleb said, "Yes, we can take it. God's on our side. We can take anybody." And now he's up against this fortress city. We're not told it's a test of his faith, but his faith continues. It doesn't waver. We have no evidence biblically that he was worried that this wouldn't happen. He believed in the word of the Lord. We need to believe in the word of the Lord today. We need to look to the new covenant and find in the perfect law of liberty, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what God desires of us to please him. Whether living as individuals or in performing worship and other activities in congregations, local congregations, God has told us in his pattern, the New Testament, what we should do. The story goes on, as you know, and following God's instruction is always a good thing, and it results in a great outcome, the outcome that God promised. And God has promised us great outcome, not riches and wealth and earthly fame. We may or may not have some of these things for some of the people that are following Christ. But we are to lay up treasure in heaven where rust and moth doth not corrupt and where thieves can't break through and steal. This is what we can glean from people like Joshua and their good example, that they would live in such a way as they would be a leader before God's people. And Joshua made mistakes, but the people gave heed to Moses, and he got them out of Egypt with God's help, on God's terms and God's plan. And Moses can't live forever, and he dies. And here comes Joshua, another leader of God's people. At that time, the children of Israel, fleshly Israel, and now we can be part of spiritual Israel. Not being born in a fleshly family of Jewish inheritance or heritage, but rather being born again, John 3:3 and John 3:5. Becoming a member of the body of Christ by hearing the word of God and believing the word of God and repenting of our sins. Confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to submit to the baptism, the water baptism of the Great Commission, as taught in passages like Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Romans 10:9 and 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. When you put together what God told people to do to become Christians, disciples of Christ, members of the Lord's church, as he adds the saved to the church daily as they're being saved. We just looked simply to see what people in the New Testament times did, and don't take away or add to that formula of God, and that'll make you a New Testament Christian. Before we end, don't forget Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God bless and have a pleasant day.